Welcome to the Spiritual Sexual Shamanic Podcast. Exploring sacred sexuality, activating life force, and empowered transformation, these intimate conversations take you under the sheets with faculty from ISTA, the International School of Temple Arts. I'm your host, Rhea Yoshida, faculty and organizer with ISTA. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited for today's episode. I've been looking forward to this for quite some time. It is Daily Sex with Matilda. Welcome, welcome, Matilda. Yay.
Hello, hello, hello.
It's finally. It's so good to have you. I know, finally, we've been trying to schedule this, and I'm so glad because I am so curious, and I'm sure all the listeners are as well, about daily sex. So Matilda is a 50-plus-year-old woman of four, married since 1994. I know she's got great advice for us, and as a newlywed, I can't wait. She's the founder of Evolvia Coach Training School and holds an MCC, Master Certified Coach, from ICF. She's also one of the co-founders of the Wild Love Festival in Iceland. And of course, last but definitely not least, the organizer for ISTA, International School of Temple Arts, in Iceland, and is seeding Norway for the first time. Wow, Matilda, I cannot believe that you have raised four kids, have daily sex, and are doing all of this. So cool.
It's actually rather amazing that life can be more pleasurable and more pleasurable and more pleasurable, you know.
So brilliant. All right. So let's just dive right in. Tell me all the things. Like, what does daily sex even mean? I know you wrote a book about it.
Yes.
So I'm sure you have a lot to say. Yeah. Yes. It's so cool. So talk to us about like daily sex. Like, what does this mean? Are you actually having sex every day? Like, what's happening here? Talk to us about it all.
Yeah, it started out 2008 when my husband, since many years already then, came with this article, which was about a couple who had sex daily. Yeah, so he kind of offered this great idea. And my first thought was, isn't this a little bit too much? Yeah, but we play a game of yes. And this is like a whole conversation we can talk about also, but... So we say yes to each other, on purpose. So I said, okay, let's try it. Yeah, and today is 2013 and we're still going. 2023, sorry. Yeah, and we're still, you know, this is since 2008. So something really shifted when we started to meet every 24 hours, you know, in sex. And I can talk about several things that... complaints, for example, from my side about I don't get enough touch and intimacy and stuff. And when we meet completely, you know, in sex, you know, then I am full, kind of, then I'm nourished. And also conflicts between us. We're two very dynamic, alive people. So it's not a calm house in that sense at all. But when we both are committed that we want to go into sex, yeah, then we need to be really quick with the conflicts. Yeah, so both have a really good reason to solve things in between us. Yeah, that was a few things.
Amazing. Yes, I know you and I also know your husband well. So when you talk about being strong people, I get it. And plus, on top of that, you have four children. So, you know, I think, I don't know, maybe a question that every wife might be thinking is like, when and how? And, you know, what about just for hypothetical reasons, like all the house chores and all the other things you have to do? And on top of that, having sex, like talk to us about that.
Yeah. There's so many pieces. And that's why when I shared about our way of living, since many years, then people started to say, you should write a book. And my first thought was, what? You know, I can't write a book. What? How would I do that? Yeah. And 3 years ago, I turned 50. And as a present for myself, like a gift to myself, I put myself the goal to and aimed at and completed to write the book. So it's short chapters of of yeah sharings, actually, like as intimate as I can. And our rhythm, it has not always been the same rhythm, but for now we often wake up very early. You know, it's like we sleep in waves. So we wake up 4 or 5 or 6, we go into sex, and we fall asleep again. And that's what I love the most. That's to be able to fall asleep afterwards. I love that. So it's like just like a part of what's happening in our, you know, in our, yeah. So when we go out of the bedroom in the morning, we're like, we have already met, you know, in sex completely. That's how we do it right now. Yeah.
Beautiful. It's really beautiful. I really hear the benefits of this. It's meeting each other. And there's this like way of, my interpretation is like sinking the body, like sinking your nervous system, sinking the breath. It's really profound.
It's so many pieces, and for me, you know, my journey is just awesome. When I did my own ISTA training before this whole everything started, well, then I was so afraid. I was so contracted in so many ways. So now having the access to be able to run energy through my body at any time, the question is how much do I want that energy to be around kind of actively. And so waking up in the bed and having another body next to, it's very natural to just allow the energy to start flowing and playing with each other. And so it's like allowing, you know, he is allowing me to have my, you know, sexual energy run through me and me, him also, of course. And so it's like, how much do I want that during 24 hours? And today also I have access to orgasmic flow just by an in-breath. You know, I don't need anyone to do anything with me. It's just me. You know, I have an orgasm here, you know, so I don't need him either, you know, but it's a beautiful, you know, something to do together.
Amazing. Yes. So it makes a lot of sense. It's like you're in this sleepy state, this rhythm, this wave, if you will, and you sort of are having a lighter sleep around 4, 5, 6 a.m. You make love. It's like natural and it's very organic.
Very, very much, very much. And someone has said, like, rather like, yeah, like ugly things. Don't you get, for example, hard skin in your vagina doing it so much, or isn't it boring, stuff like that? To me, it's the complete opposite in a way, because my vagina, for example, she's so sensitive now, so I, you know, get, you know, and everything for me is about mindfulness or being present. So when I touch whatever it is, so if I touch a lingam, you know, I've never done it before. This has never happened, you know. So also having someone touch me in the moment, it has never happened. So it's so much about being in the presence, you know, just this moment. And it's just extraordinary and ecstatic when it happens. It has not happened before, you know. That's like how I relate to it, if you understand. Yeah.
Yes, I love that so much, because I would imagine that anyone who hears daily sex, you know, the mind is going to go haywire and say, oh no, like, what about this? And what about that? And have all these reasons and excuses and logic and data points to think about, but it's not a thinking. It's a sensation based. It's a meditation based. It is a moment to moment. And I got to say, it's a very exciting practice versus perhaps just sitting in meditation.
Yeah, and it's like an active meditation, you know, it's like Osho shaking meditation and all these kind of different active. This is also just like a meditation. So it's like being present and exercising your body together kind of meditation. Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant. It's so good. And it's really curious, you know, for example, my husband and I, we sleep in separate beds. right? Mm-hmm. And so for us to make love, it's a very conscious act, you know, usually in the evening. I mean, I would love to have morning sex. That sounds great, especially after a full night's rest.
Yes, exactly. If I can comment that, because the like the morning sensations to me, it's like before anything else have happened, it's coming out of like a dreamy state. And it's just such a beautiful embrace like the tingle. If we're awake outside of the house, everyone knows what the energy is in an early morning. So that's like the time that we are giving each other, you know. Yeah. But then also it can be, it's not always once each 24 hours. It can be several times also when energy is moving in different directions during the day also, of course. Yeah.
I love this. So it's not just daily sex, but it's daily multiple times a day sex.
Absolutely. It has been several times more.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. I love this so much. It really is almost brain breaking. Like it's a paradigm shift to know that this is possible, that you have set up your life around this powerful practice of meeting each other in marriage, in partnership. It really takes something.
Absolutely. And one thing it takes that is that we need to like be friends, you know, from being irritated of each other. You know, that needs to be like solved, because you know, if someone is irritated, you're not going to come close to me. That doesn't work, you know. So we have to like constantly work on being close to each other, which I find really, really beautiful and very like respectful and honorable. And for those who have children, it took us many years. But to lock the door into the bedroom, for example, to have peace from children, it's really clever, actually. You know, when the children sleep in their own beds, then it's really clever to at least for me, to have like not have to know that someone might come in. We were not so clever in doing that with the first three, but, you know. Yeah.
Fourth one was a charm in your case.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
I love that. Yes. So whatever it takes to have peace of mind, mm-hmm. and for you in your case, it happened to be having a lock on the bedroom door to say like, hey, this is mommy and daddy's time.
Yeah. And it's exactly, you know, today also everyone has their own rooms. Yeah. So of course this is our room. And when we're not official with this part, so this part is our time, of course. So to be able to have peace and in that is just really like important and honorable. I think it's like it's our time, it's me time, you know. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, I really love this. And talk to me a little bit more about this game of yes, that you're saying things on purpose to each other.
Yes. So just noticing that in a lot of relationships, people get, how can I describe it in my point, it becomes these power games and it becomes very divided. That's yours. This is mine. You do that. Yeah. Do you want to do what is mine? No. You know, so it becomes no, like a no game, and more separated in a way to kind of hold your own identity, or I don't know what's going on there. But I just don't want, for the first time, me personally, if you play a game with me, I'm not in at all. Then I'm off. Yeah. So as little games as possible. So I just get really upset if there's a game playing, then I just call it out at once. So we went in and started to play a yes game instead. So it means that when someone is suggesting something, that in my body, for example, it says, no, what the fuck? It's, you know, this is really triggering or challenging or whatever it is. Yeah. The game is to notice that and turn it into a yes. Okay, so it becomes like an inclusion instead of exclusion. So it's like honoring that we, of course, we're two very different people. So, for example, my my dear husband is a hunter, hunts everything possible to hunt. So when he asked me, for example, you want to come to South Africa to hunt wild game a few years ago, to me it was like, what are you asking from me? That's, you know, I don't want to be the rich person in a country where there are poor people. And the beautiful, you know, animals and all these, you know, values and stuff in me. But since we're playing a yes game, it was my job to work with me and look at what are the triggers. Okay, put them aside and say, yeah, of course, I'll bring my book, you know, and I come with you. And then I have a whole story about how much I learned and what we got to experience. And so saying yes becomes an inclusion. Now we have like memories together, you know, which are amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, this is really powerful because I hear you. There is a power struggle that happens in relationship, in partnership, in marriage specifically, because we're a team and a unit. And in this union, there is a sense of merging that happens, which my interpretation or judgment is that it's very threatening to the ego. It's very threatening to this like sense of I or self. And then we almost project that onto our partners and, you know, reject them or say no to them or separate ourselves from them in like this desperate effort to maintain some self-identity.
Yeah, in how I explain the world with relationships, it's that I have my own life, kind of personal Matilda. Yeah, and then my husband has his. And then we have like a third part, which is our union. So it's like three units. So he has his completely freedom, do whatever, and me too. And then we need to like grow our union part. So that's, you know, the yes game is played in here. So it's not taking from, you know, having your own individual kind of experience. It's not in that way. It's like in between us. And it can be very small things, you know. Yeah. And you may say no also. So don't get that wrong. You know, it's really, yeah. So it's not about that. But it's, yeah, it is like a game that aims at like doing things together rather than separate, for example. And spending time. And we're really good at doing these things now. Yeah.
It's a skill. It is a skill that I believe we're not born with, mm-hmm. that is a muscle that needs to be trained and worked out and figured out, and to do this thing called collaboration, which I really hear you speaking into with this like third entity of the partnership. I mean, it takes more time and more effort and more energy.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But it also, I would say, perhaps more transformational than anything, because it's like everyday workshop, you know, it's everyday conflict solution. It's everyday dealing with each other, dealing with myself with, you know, in the relationship. So it's very, if you don't want like trouble, don't have any relationship, kind of, you know, it will bring you all kind of struggle and trouble and stuff. But the whole, you know, the whole game of letting go and hearing the other side and like getting back into love again, that's the art. And whoever is the quickest to get off it, you know, wins, you know, gets points. You know, that's the game. Because we humans, we so much want to have right, you know, no, you did this to me, you know, all this. Yeah. But this is the, like the muscle of beautiful relationship is really to want to acknowledge and to let go and to hear another side and to be humble. Yeah.
Really, really powerful work. This is absolutely incredible. This is not for the faint of heart or, you know, someone who wants a smooth and easy life. I really hear you on this. And, you know, like the other day, I was crabby. I didn't sleep well. I was just moody and snippy to my husband and caught myself and realized like, wow, okay, you know, I really needed some sleep. So I got good rest that night. And then the next day I made a lavish breakfast and really put effort in, and I was being extra kind. And my husband's like, wow, you're being really nice to me today. And I'm like, yes, I'm sorry for yesterday. Yeah. Like I take ownership of that. I'm sorry for my mood. I was being crabby. And you know, it's like this, it's almost this concept. What we have as a motto in our relationship is infinite chances. Mm. And so I really hear you speaking into that. It's like, it's a daily practice.
Absolutely. And all the time. And saying, I'm sorry, or I noticed that was not nice, or I, you know, I take my responsibility. That's like the biggest art. That's like the most humble. Who do that first gets the most points, you know. So that's, you know, if I could teach my children, if I could, you know, to like solve conflict and come back to like being feeling love again, that's what we need everywhere, you know. And it starts, you know, like before sex happens, you know, starts in the house, you know.
Absolutely. It's really powerful. And even like, you know, there's this limited view and understanding of what sex even is, right? We think it has to look a certain way, that it's always some kind of intercourse between like a heteronormative couple. And it's not, it's life.
It is very much. And today I can't, you know, our sex life is rather traditional. Yeah. But my body, from all this activity of having, you know, penetration very often, the body has just opened up so much. So it's completely open. So energy, sex, energy, I just breathe in and my whole body is orgasming. So sex is really very present at all moments. Yes. In my life.
Yeah, beautiful. Talk to us a bit about that transformation, because I remember you saying earlier that you used to be a little more closed or a little more rigid or a little more, you know, tight or controlled, if you will. And you mentioned, you know, doing your first ISTA training and how the opening of that, but specifically like your journey, what was that like in your transformation?
Yeah, just to mention, in the ISTA training, which is this weekly long ritual, whole fantastic experience, there were so much that I was afraid of. I'm a rather, you know, like outgoing person, used to relationships in all kind of ways and training people and so on. But here, all of a sudden, I was in exercises that scared the complete shit out of me. So even when there were possibilities to have not so many clothes on, I was in all my clothes under blankets, you know, completely in contraction, you know. And what I understand after having now been in many ISTA trainings over the years, yeah, is that all the programming of you're not supposed to do this, you're not supposed to see this, you're not all like shaming of all kinds of things was so mixed up to get, you know, together with the longing of having everything beautiful and seeing and doing and everything. So it was complete mix. So letting go and letting go and letting go of my own programming and being present instead of what is it, for example, to feel pleasure with my body and without any other people's ideas of that. But for me, what is pleasure for me? And my body is so easy. It needs so little to feel pleasure. So it can feel pleasure for just about, you know, no touch at all, actually. But yeah, so it has completely like, I did not know that you can breathe in and kind of have sex with yourself if you like. Yeah, so you can like experience a lot of intimacy only with yourself, not even touching if you like. Yeah, so there's so many like dimensions and connections with other people that are almost no touch and it are completely ecstatic. Yeah, so sex that's a very interesting topic. Where does it start and end? You know, because it doesn't have to look like anything about penetration of genitals. It's orgasmic experience and intimacy, and it can be in all the clothes also, not touching. You know, so it's so wide. Yeah.
Beautiful. It's really powerful. I hear this contrast that you experienced from seeing yourself and experiencing yourself as this outgoing, courageous human being, and then finding yourself contracted and afraid and in opposition to what was being offered or available. And in that, noticing, and like, it almost sounds like you integrated this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Today I can say that I'm like, I embody, you know, now, today I can be completely relaxed in the same spaces and situations where I completely, you know, scared and with closed eyes, you know, before. And it's such a relief. And all the energy that I before were working on, like holding myself back, is now there for creation with lightness. Yeah. So many people, I think that some people could think that I'm doing a lot of things or holding a lot of balls in the air and stuff, but it's done with lightness, because I'm not working, my energy doesn't go to contracting much. So it goes to, you know, creation instead. Yeah.
Beautiful. It is such an exciting thing to hear. This like level of success that you've reached in your partnership, in your life, in your body, it's really extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And I'm really like listening and tracking all these miracles that happened, that it was a miracle that your husband brought this article to you about daily sex. It was a miracle that you're playing this game of yes, and how powerful it is, because you can see how the power struggle really hurts partnership when we're not playing team. And this miracle, this opportunity, there was this like threshold and you stepped over it, you crossed over it when you said, you know what, I'm done of being contracted and afraid. I want to step over and integrate this aspect of myself. And really to witness you now at 53, you know, with your book and everything that you're doing in your life and how you've gotten here, that it wasn't easy.
No, and it's all in a way also like natural, because for example, I did not go to ISTA training to knowing I'm so contracted, I want to be less contracted. I actually went to the ISTA training because I felt I was walking around with a fireball between my legs, you know, having too much like pleasure experience, and I did not know who to talk about this with. So then I asked my dear husband, could you come with me to this training, this ISTA training? And that was not his. So for him, it was, what are you asking me? You know, so that was his stepping over and coming into what I asked for. So, and there I understood, wow, I had all these, you know, contractions going on and the scarcity. And I also, at the same time, it's not done in any way. I think this also is a journey. It's like a life, it's a way of looking at life, to like seeking out, if you like, where there are more contractions and where there are endless of scarcity to deal with for many generations. So it's more like a way of looking at life and going towards the like transformation and learning, rather than going into something like contracted and what is called safe, which I think that's an illusion. It's
Yes, safety is illusory, and it's definitely an inside job. I mean, what feels safe to any one of us doesn't feel safe to the other person, and it's a practice for sure.
Yeah, and the fun and kind of double part in this is also, let's say I'm scared of something. And I go into what's called like the comfort, you know, what happens in the comfort? You know, when water stands still too long, it starts to smell. You know, so being comfortable is not, you know, it's like being resigned in a way. So perhaps, you know, daring to take steps towards the new, saying yes to something which is challenging, is actually creating, you know, something new. And perhaps, I don't know, safety, like, I don't like the word safety. You know, it's like boring. You know, it doesn't, it's not alive, and it's not, you know, it's more about how can I keep myself alive? You know, how do we stay alive? Pulsating.
Yes, yes. It's not about being stagnant or being stuck in a specific comfort zone, because really it's just what's familiar, and what's familiar is not always great.
No, I'm also, in my point of view, and you know how we have like pictures on our walls, for example, or decorations in our house, and we just walk through them all the time. You know, we don't see them anymore. Yeah. And I do not want to be that for my husband, for example. Yeah. So I'm going to do everything to keep him alive. You know? So he sees me. I need to be seen. I need to be fresh. I need to be, you know, I need him to be present to me. I want to be present to him. I use the word sometimes to say, I want to live in love. Not falling in love once and that's it, but to live, you know, in the high frequent, adoring, active, seeing, you know, and that's like a conscious every moment creation, if you like. Yeah.
That is so powerful. It's a conscious, like creative moment to moment practice, for sure. I love that. I absolutely agree. I've had too many failed relationships and heartbreak, and pain is a really great teacher. It's not a pleasant experience per se, but it definitely woke me up alive. And now I'm at this place where I also think of myself as having a very strong personality, and I don't want my partner to let me or allow me to like steamroll them or bulldoze them. And my husband is definitely no pushover, right? That we really get to meet each other in this alive place. And I so celebrate what makes him happy and what turns him on. Even if it scares the shit out of me and it's terrifying or it's something I'm not very excited about, right? Like I probably would have big feelings of picking up and going to South Africa to do hunting of game. Like that would be like, whoa, like it's a big deal, right? With just my love for animals and all of it. And yet it's such a part of life.
And it was extraordinary. You know, in so many ways, what so much nature, and I learned so much about so many things. So it's extraordinary. And what I didn't know also, it's a parenthesis, maybe not in here, but if it wasn't for professional hunters, it wouldn't be any wild game. Because the professional hunters, those are taking care of huge lands and know exactly how many of what, only shooting the oldest in one herd, you know. So there's so many levels to what are perceived as this is the right way or wrong way, or, you know, so many things to.
Yes. You have somehow magically, like your intelligence and brilliance to be able to see the matrix in a way. Right? It's like there's these categories of what we think is right or wrong or black and white and positive, negative. And it's like so much more nuanced, so much more complex. And in the face of this, you said, I choose. This is what I'm going to choose. I choose to be alive. I don't want to just fall in love once. I want to live every day in the aliveness of love.
And when we came down to now going into the hunting story again, I brought my book. I thought I was going to sit with my book there. Yeah. the first day we sit on top of a Jeep driving out in, yeah, and there are wild game all around because it's never hunting from the cars. And all of a sudden it stops, and the tracker and professional hunter and my husband, they walk away, you know, quiet with their rifles. Here I sit on top of a Jeep in somewhere in a beautiful nature with all the smells and everything, not knowing, should I be scared now? Or is this okay? Or whatever, you know, turning to the right, looking straight into the eyes of a giraffe. That was how the whole week was. It was like right where the, you know, it's like so much of what I didn't know was that it's like a presence exercise to be a hunter. I could not open a book. I was like completely, you know, looking for, you know, noticing everything and so on. So everything with regards to being out in nature as a hunter. And during one day, it's one shot. You know, you can take the fifth animal 100 meters away, you know, it's, and then everything is about bringing the body into the slaughterhouse and everything is used and, you know, all kind of things. But it was so much presence exercise that I had no idea of, for example. And if we bring that to home, for example, it's my responsibility to keep me present. Yeah. And then it's also my responsibility to see to that he's present to me. Yeah. So I'm going to scream. If you don't see me, I'm going to like do something so you don't forget to be present. So it's a very conscious activity. Yeah. And it's like active. It's not by chance. Yeah.
And this is huge because so many people are asleep and want to be asleep and just want to be on autopilot and are numb and distracted in life because, let's face it, it's not easy. Being human is not easy. There's the human conditions. We have wounds. We have pain. There's suffering. And we check out, right? And in that, we lose precious life. We lose the opportunity to really choose in those moments. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, numbing and distracting from time to time, per se, as long as there's a sense of awareness and consciousness around this, for sure.
Yes, and maybe it becomes easier when we're present. Yeah, because in the presence, I see beauty in everything. Yeah, all of a sudden I see my husband and how beautiful he is. And all of a sudden he sees me or touches me in some way. So it becomes like lighter and it, you know, in a way a lot more, you know, sensual and happiness and lightness.
I love that we started with daily sex and we're still talking about daily sex. And really, this is a conversation about what does it mean to be natural and organic, to be in partnership, to be these, I don't know, I would say like hunters and gatherers or readers and this organic sense of being in the modern world.
Yeah, I can add a piece also that I'm thinking of right now, because it's also been a journey since my body has kind of learned so much. You know, 10 years ago, it did not work the same. So what turns me on and what makes me pleasure, it's like changing. And also daring to communicate. Can you give me less now? You know, can you just hold? Don't rub, you know, or whatever, you know, it's like everything that's learned needs to be kind of changed and adjusted. And, you know, it's like, yeah. So this has also been not only for me to understand and learn how my body works, but to also be in communication with then my partner, because it's so funny also because we're so different. I give what I want. Yeah, so I give, for example, just like really, really plain in massage, I give my husband what I want. And he says, take away those butterflies, you know, like really light something. Yeah. And when he gives me, it's like cracking me, you know, from some fixing something. Yeah. So being able to communicate, and actually, because he loves to give me what I love. And I don't want to give him what he doesn't love. You know, I really want to give what makes pleasure for him. But how could I know? So this whole also has been like a journey to develop, to actually dare to say and to show each other and so on. And today that's so natural for us. So we just adjust a hand or slow something down or increase or, you know, all kind of these pieces are also, I would say, like an offer to everyone, not at all to be shy in this, rather to communicate. Yeah.
Really, really beautiful. I feel so grateful that I have such a auditory, expressive husband who makes it very clear what he wants, right? Whether it's like what he wants me to say or how he wants me to touch him or what he wants to eat, right? Like, I mean, I make these meals and just for fun, it's like, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, how much do you love it? Do you want this again? Like, I'm always trying to come up with creative new meals. And I think the highest I've gotten out of my husband was maybe an 8.9.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and I'm like, damn, like, I really want to get a 9 or like a 10, you know? It's like, what's a 10 meal? And on one hand, it's almost like, well, wow, you know, did you criticize my cooking? Or are you being critical or high maintenance or, you know, high standards, whatever it is. And it's probably all of the above, but I actually love that because there's always room to grow. And it's my responsibility, how I respond and how I react.
Yeah.
Right. And he's not easy to please. And it's actually exciting.
Yeah. And bring that into sex, you know, how awful is the thought to like want to serve someone, want to give pleasure, doing your really best. And it sucks, you know, and no one is telling because there's some pride or something. So it's like, oh, this, you know, and no, it's like lose. Yeah. So it's not nice at all. So the honorable is to clarify, you know, and learn into each other instead. But I noticed so much how that was not my upbringing or any, no one kind of communicated that, you know, that's actually really, really clever. Teach each other of each other, you know, that's like really, really clever.
So good. Yes. And I would say, you know, my husband and I are being such a personal development workshop junkie, having read all the books, we're very communicative, almost too much. It's like excessive. So like, we're like, it's like, you know, 5 inches higher and to the left and like, you know, lessen the pressure by 0.2, whatever pressure meters, you know, it's almost like too much. Right. And so it's also this practice of what you're talking about, this whole call around listening and the energy and allowing. I think that is such a key, especially, you know, when we're making love. It's this allowing to be present in the moment, to allow the sensations in the body, to allow the feelings, to allow all of it, where it provides this sense of surrender.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, and it's such a like gift to engage together to support the other person then in experiencing their pleasure in like giving a space of, you know, I just as is a gift to me when someone allows me to be, you know, with my active sexual energy or sensual energy and to give that to someone else or to co-create it's just such a beautiful thing.
Oh, this is like by far my absolute favorite subject. It's how to make this thing called partnership work. Cause you're right. We are not raised with this knowledge or this information. So I could talk with you about this for hours and hours. And is there anything else that you really want listeners to know and to understand when it comes to daily sex?
It kind of brings a smile on my face when I think about daily sex. It's a lot about like listening to the body, you know, following the body. Do I want to keep laying in the bed just a little bit and, you know, feeling the strokes of the sheets on my body? Like while being in the bathroom, you know, what makes just a little bit more pleasure somewhere? And allowing, yeah, to rest, for example, to listen these days, just these days now, of some reason, I have this long list of things I can do. Yeah. And very often when I ask myself, okay, what's next? Well, lay down and rest. Okay. So then I lay down and rest. So I listen a lot to my intuition, you know, so yeah, which is strange sometimes, but this is maybe the like highest thing in this moment. It's to listen to, what would make just moving my, you know, my arms close to my breast, you know, how can I just sit, you know, this moment, massage my thighs a little bit while I'm speaking to you. How can I be good to myself just at any moment, really, wherever I am, just the feeling into, I love to sense the clothes on my body. Yeah, just to sense, you know, how they feel. So it's like listening to the body. Yeah.
It's so beautiful. It's this really precious space of noticing the subtleties, noticing the nuances, and being in the subtle realms. It's the subtle little, you know, sensations and micro movements that can really make a whole experience extraordinarily pleasurable.
And if I bring that again into partnership, so when I just feel like the slightest sense that my husband, for example, is like just breathing, or I hear just something that I know is okay, he's turned on, or yeah, so instead of going away, I want to appreciate it. Yeah, so it's really being like aware, because the no game, yeah, it's like, oh, now he's there. No, I think, you know, it's like this whole like theater is starting, but I don't live like that. It's rather, oh, there we have it. You know, let's start to dance. So the same with me, when I show him that now I'm ready or something. Yeah, if I sense that he's not listening or not paying attention or consciously doing something else when he already picked up signals, no, not a good idea. You know, so it's really about being subtle with each other, like honoring each other. Is no games, you know.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. And to wrap up this call, I'd love to go into some quick fire questions. Are you ready for this?
Okay, let's see.
Yes. So in three words or less, whatever comes to mind, and just do your best. Mm-hmm. In just a few words, what does freedom mean to you?
Conscious beauty appreciation.
What did you eat for dinner last night?
Peking duck, Beijing duck.
Delicious. If you were a piece of furniture, what would you be?
A bed right now.
Cozy. What's something you've failed at?
Sorting out papers. Yeah.
I think we all fail at that. What are you reading right now?
I haven't started reading. I'm reading this Gudsi Osnai. It's in Icelandic, so it's not so easy.
Yeah. Give us a translation.
Oh, Well, it's actually God is next to us, but it's not so much about God, I think. But anyway.
Beautiful. Love it. What do you know now that you wish you knew when you first started on your path?
That you can have like 1,000 times pleasure. Yeah. Yeah. Pleasurable life experience.
I love that. So last but not least, what has been the single most impactful thing in your spiritual journey?
Understanding like energy sex.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for being with us today, Matilda. Is there a way that people can reach out to you or contact you? How can they find you?
Yes, MatildaGregersdaughter.com. It's a long word, but I don't know if we write it close to the...
Yes, we'll have all your information on there. And if you haven't read Daily Sex, get the book. It's so worth it. Is it on Amazon?
It's on Amazon.
Daily all right. Sex,
Matilda. Yes.
Wonderful. So much love, beauty. It was absolute pleasure and an honor.
Thank you so much. And it was also very fun. I love to speak about it.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Sexual Shamanic Podcast. To find out more about ISTA's retreats, online festivals, or to work with our faculty, see our website, ISTA.life, or find us on Facebook at ISTA.life and on Instagram at ISTA_tribe.